Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my single parenting friends. This is your host, Candy, aka Single Mama Diva. And I just had a show yesterday with Dora, and she graced us with her presence, and we were talking about trusting your instincts as a single parent. And I went online today because I'm trying to blog and meet single parents and network, and I've really run into some really good sites out here for single moms. And so I said I'll take about a half hour today and listen to my favorite CD and kind of share some sites with you. I ran across Miss Single Mom. I've been a member of her site for a while. And Single Mom Seeking by a young lady named Rachel. She's done a fabulous job on her site. And I was drawn to her site because she's written a book as well as I have. And I'm looking for a lot of the common things. Single mothers who've written books, single mothers who have pursued their education and or who have started their own businesses, because these are really huge deals when you're talking about doing this as a single parent. Now, as I've said before in some of my blog posts, that I don't believe that being a single parent means that you're doing everything all by yourself. However, there is a certain weight that comes with being a single parent, and it doesn't really matter how much help you get. I think it's the same thing as if you're not a parent who has birthed a child. You can raise a child and love that child deeply, but there's a certain weight that comes from carrying a child in your womb. And I think it's the same thing when you're talking about single parenting. Even when I see people who have never raised their children, who've had children and given them up to other people to raise, there's something about them that's never the same. So when I speak of single parenting, I'm speaking more of a psyche, more so than I am a physical realm of being married or not being married or having help and not having help. And getting out meeting other single parents has been really inspiring, because as I was talking to Dora yesterday, I told her there was a point in my life where I didn't even know I was a single parent, because you get so used to people, I think women doing things on their own. So when you have to do something on your own, you're looking at mirrors of other people doing things on their own. Even when women are married, a lot of the times they're doing most of the work. So I think that recognizing that, wow, you are in another group and doing things just a little bit differently than what you were used to doing if you happen to have been married, or if you're a teen mom, which I can't imagine, but I guess being 23 is no different. I was about 23 years old and married when I had my first child, and then we decided to have our second child at 28, and I'm around 31. We separated. So I got married at 21, so there was about 10 years there. And so as I've kind of calmed down a little bit and the smoke has cleared, I have come to the realization, as I look at my circle and look at my audience and look at my friends and people whom I'm coming in contact with, that single mothers, single parents are really a growing group who needs support. We make it, but I think we make it in spite of, rather than making it by having someone, you know, really help us out. I know when I first became a student and I had all of these other outside issues in pursuing my undergraduate degree, and it was very frustrating because I would be sent to the student affairs office. And not once would they ever ask me about my outside stressors when it came to completing my degree. And it was really weird because I was thinking, wow, I'm almost positive that in their professional training that they have some type of system that kind of lets them know that adult students are a growing group. I'm getting my doctorate in adult education, and just from the time that I got my master's in adult education, adult students made up about 50% of the learning population in colleges, from community colleges on through to four-year university. In just a year time frame, that percentage has jumped up to about 3% more, so it's about 53%. So you're talking over half of our learning or student higher education population is at least over the age of 25. And then a third of that group has children or some type of sandwich responsibility. They either have children, grandchildren, or they have both, and they're taking care of their aging parents as well. So when we're talking about meeting job demands, we're talking about going back to school and changing careers, opening businesses, and also being a parent and making sure that you send off the next generation into the world well-prepared is not an easy task. I've been a stay-at-home mom pretty much all of my children's lives. Even when I was single, I had an entrepreneurial mindset. I started cosmetology when I was 18 years old, and I decided that that was what I wanted to do because it was going to enable me to have fun and do what I was good at, but it was also going to enable me to be my own business person. So as I decided to do that, a whole mindset came with that. And that mindset never left. It was as if it had become more a part of me to be an entrepreneur as it did for me to be a parent. I don't remember my life any other way. So having that freedom, even though having your own business comes with a lot of stress, having that freedom to spend time with my children and not have to ask anybody, can I get off work when they're sick, or can I get off, have this day off and get up, leave early, and can I have an extension on that project? Those types of things have never entered into my parenting framework. I think that within itself has reduced my stress level of parenting probably about 50% more than my single parent peers who are working. That is why I really try to promote entrepreneurship among women who have children in particular. Also, though, let me bring up the fact that when you have your own business, you have to operate more so on faith than anything else. You can have all of the elaborate planning and all of the goals that you want to set, and you can have all of the ideas in place, and you can have all of the support that you need, but we cannot ignore the fact that things happen. I've had to let go of two businesses, two salons, due to the fact of my divorce and being single, a single parent, and that was when I made my transition into school. Well, because single parenting is a very stressed group, I had landed myself into higher education, and I was surrounded by single parents. But the funny thing was, we were so gung-ho about getting things done that we rarely talked about our single parenting struggles. And I moved from my undergrad degree to my master's degree, and from my master's degree to my doctoral degree, and I am just now settled down enough to be able to reflect on all the things that I've done. And it's just amazing to me because I'm thinking, wow, I never really did reach out to any single parents who were coming behind me or reach out to any single parents who had gone before me. I happened upon them, but I didn't consciously reach out to them until recently. So when I got my blog, singlemamadiva.com, I was forced to reach out to other single parents because, as you know, when you get a blog, you want people to participate and you want to be able to reach out to those who may need the material that you have on your site. And I started reaching out to other single moms, and it seemed like everyone's story was the same, with just a slight twist. It didn't matter what color we were. It didn't matter who was pretty, who was ugly. It didn't matter who was fat, who was slim. It didn't matter who was working and who was not working. The educational level didn't matter. Nothing mattered when you read the post on the sites of single parents, especially females. Nothing mattered other than they were stressed and they were looking for relief. Many of them were looking for encouragement. Many of them were looking for praise because a lot of them have accomplished huge feats. And I thought about it. I was like, okay, I've written a book, 25 Thoughts About Your Destiny. I've come through three levels of education and higher ed. I've moved my kids across three states to pursue a doctoral program. And without any support here, I have gone through the welfare system while I've been in school to help support me, which is something that is very good to know that you have, because I started looking into the system and I started looking at financial aid and I started looking at grants and I started having to put together my financial portfolio as to how I was going to make it. It was automatic. I was going to have to live off of assistantships. I was going to have to live off of, you know, my welfare benefits, and my welfare benefits were contingent upon me finishing school. It was really weird because when I took the leap of faith to go to school, my best girlfriend and I were both deciding to just go to school at the same time. We were both going through divorces. We both had two children. And I just kind of went out on a limb. And when I got rid of my business, I sold things. I had a small cushion to work with. And I enrolled in school. I got all of my financial aid, but I was still paying off my bills, all of my rent and everything. And she saw in the newspaper where it said, if you're working 40 hours a week or if you are a single parent with a and you're in school full time, at least 15 hours, you qualify for housing assistance. And so when she told me, we ran to where this was taking place, got in line, and the housing benefits kicked in. And I didn't even think of it as welfare at the time. I was just thinking, wow, I finally get to go to school and focus completely on my studies. and not have to worry about paying rent. I wasn't even really thinking strategically at the time. I just knew that it was an opportunity that I had to really, really jump on. So that produced a whole set of other support systems that we normally frown upon, but it just goes to show you that when you reconstruct the world by reconstructing your mind, whatever everybody else thinks may not be the thing to do, may be just the thing for you. And that's what I teach in a lot of my writings, is that once you become a single parent, you have to do what's best for you, going back to trusting your instincts and understanding that everything you do or choose to do may not make sense to everyone else. But God has given you intuition, and He's given you already the knowledge that you need in order to do the things that you need to do. And for those of you who are just kind of sitting and waiting for this huge magical sign to come out of the sky and tell you what you need to do, it's not going to happen like that. It's like once you make a step that you're going to write your book, you're going to go back to school, and you're going to start your business, and you're going to take this opportunity to put your child in this particular program, even though you don't know how you're going to be able to pay for it. Until you actually do it, things don't really come open. So I said all that to say that until I started reaching out to single parents, I have never met such wonderful, accomplished single parents. Most of the single parents I knew were whining and crying, and they were just, oh, woe is me, and they were kind of discouraged. And I just kind of wanted to kind of get away from that, so I kind of blocked all of that off, and I kind of got into my own world. Well, when I reemerged and decided I wanted to network online, I ran into these wonderful single moms. Now, what I would like to see more of are more single dads online talking about the things that interest them. I was going to make my site strictly for women, but I want men to come, but it's just really hard to reach guys. I have a daughter and I have a son. My daughter is always coming up talking to me, telling me what's on her mind, telling me what happened at school and what this person did and what that person did. My son, on the other hand, I have to go to him and I have to say, how was your day? You know, if it's something really huge, he'll come to me. But for the most part, I have to go to him. And this trend goes throughout adulthood, which makes it really difficult to meet the needs of single dads as well. So I happen to be doing research. My master's research was on what single parents need in order to get their education, and my doctoral research is basically a carryover from that, but it's not just limited to education. It's more broad about just reaching goals in general. What do single parents need in order to succeed? And for the most part, a lot of single parents don't have a plan. Most single parents don't plan to be single parents. So I think the thing that makes it really difficult is they don't have a plan. And so what I decided I wanted to do was create a single parenting plan for unplanned single parents. I don't really want to support people going out just having kids voluntarily, you know, as a single parent, because I'm not going to say that's the best thing. Overall, generally, you have certain situations where that may be necessary. But I don't think that I would prescribe that as a blanket. I think if you're going to have to do a blanket, it would be better to say, in general, it's best to have two parents. Now, two parents doesn't necessarily mean that it has to necessarily be the child's biological parent. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be married, although those are ideal circumstances. But I also write a lot about alternative parenting styles for people who don't have that option. Everybody doesn't have that option. So I just kind of wanted to just talk about being a single mama and finally networking and reaching out and coming out of my shell and coming out of the fog and seeing a whole world of opportunities. There are a lot of things that I plan to do for single parents, and I don't know how I'm going to get them done. I still have another year and a half in school, and although that doesn't take up as much time as it used to because I was able to switch my LAN program to an online program, I thank God for that. That was very strenuous going through a bachelor's program and a master's program and entering into a doctoral program, all land-based. I had accumulated several parking tickets, and it was difficult trying to walk across this way to the campus and then come all the way back across campus and then have to leave campus to go pick up my kids from school and then get them situated and fed and go back to school and find places to study. And when I moved, I was forced to alternate my plan. I came all the way to Ohio so that I could pursue this doctoral program that I had been wonderfully, magically, and blessedly accepted into with a full assistantship. And I was just feeling really down about the fact that I did not have the support that I needed in order to make sure that my daughter in particular, because she's still young, got what she needed as far as helping her with her schoolwork and making sure that she had the proper transportation back and forth. I couldn't really get that down pat. And so I just said, God, you know, I need an alternative plan. And I happened to run across an application that I had filled out like a year prior for a program that was, you know, comparable to what I had already been into. And when I finally dove in and took the plunge to just get into it, it was amazing how it, class for class, even some of the same books and everything was exactly the same. I didn't have to skip a beat, and I was able to maintain my original plan of research, and it was just a godsend. So now I get to stay home. I have all of my finances in place as far as my support while I'm finishing up with school. And I'm blogging and meeting and networking with other single moms and reaching out and telling my story, because before I really didn't want to tell my story. Before, I was kind of like, I'm not going to tell my story until I'm a huge star. You know, I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking I had to have everything in place. I had to have all of my 3 books written and completed that I had laid out. I had to have all of my degrees that I said I wanted to complete, and I had to have my business set up just perfectly before I could really come out and let people know what I had been through. But as I continued to go through, God showed me, you're going to have to speak out now, because there are people who can use this raw, fresh, cut information that you're experiencing in the now. Stop thinking about the future. Tomorrow's not necessarily promised, and if you miss these opportunities to reach out to these people, they may be ones who can help you, and you may be the one who can help them, and you could have gone 12 levels higher by reaching out now as opposed to trying to go into this little shell and just do everything on your own. So I thank God for my blog. I thank God for the connections that I've made. I'm grateful for my children being wonderful and great sports about us having to move away from home. My son just got his first varsity letter for wrestling, and he's made lots of friends. And my daughter, she's just, you know, really adjusting and making wonderful friends, and came home today and said she had a little boyfriend. We got to talk a little bit more about that. But it's just been really a wonderful, wonderful choice that I made to make a move and just develop the relationship with God and my kids alone. Also, I'm not even going to get into online dating. We're going to talk about that in several shows because I met my partner now that I'm with now online over a year ago. And he's just great. We're doing great. Everything is wonderful. I can't complain about that. So I have to give thanks while things are going good and give praise to the universe for just pouring out all of its resources to me so that I can do the things that I need to do to survive and take care of my children. And I also want to share that with you, which is why I decided after having a Blog Talk account for a year before I even put a show on it, I was so disgusted with myself when I looked at it and I was like, okay, I could have had maybe 30 shows by now. But I was procrastinating because I was like, I don't have anything to say. And so I finally just started talking, and I finally just started sharing and reaching out, and now I'm on my fourth or fifth show, and I've had many other moms to come on and talk and give all of their advice. I have my friend Ivan from New Zealand who's been kind enough to share his struggles with his healing himself of his cancer, and his blog is ChooseLove.com. If you go to his blog, I promise you, you will be inspired. He's so inspiring that I feel guilty for getting such good energy from him because he's the one that's sick, and I'm not. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, what a powerful person he is to be able to carry on. He just sent me an email with lots of cancer cures that he's researched and his optimistic twist on his condition. And I really want to continue to send him love, light, and healing. And I have about 2 minutes left in the show. And I just want to say to all of my single parents who are listening to be encouraged. Continue doing what you're doing. You are enough. You are good enough. Trust your instincts. Build your team of support. There are people who are waiting to help you. There are people who are watching over you that you don't even know about, but they're waiting for you to invite them in. They're waiting for you to show that you are ready to go to the next level. Once you show the universe that you're ready to go to the next level, you will be blessed and you will be taken on a journey that I can't even fully explain to you. So I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite little relaxing tunes as we leave here. And I hope that you will find it inspiring and relaxing. Thank you for listening. Bye.